The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back, and I was just listening to that commercial for Bio Superfood, and I really should update it. I've been taking it for well over 15 years, and it is everything that a little commercial suggests, and far more than that. It is, I think you could live on it. It's got over 15,000 different nutrients in each capsule. It's constructed of the four most potent nutrition-rich algaes on the planet. It's made in Russia, sent over here and encapsulated, and it's great. And I just got a note from the American distributor, the owner, Roland Thomas. He said, in honor of Valentine's Day coming up, we are running a 14% discount on Bio Superfood. That's great. So you have until, is it February 14th? Is use the code LOVE14, L-O-V-E-14, to get 14% off. It is worth its weight in gold. That and, of course, Allison C., the most important, all-natural, broad-spectrum, full-spectrum, antiviral, antibacterial. I would urge all of you to keep it on hand. You never know what's going to happen. Okay. It's Wednesday, means Wild William is back tonight. Let's see what he's been up to. Mr. Gein, what's going on?
I say we call on Mitch McConnell to retire, to resign and retire. I think it's time
Mitch
for
McConnell?
Yeah,
he's still alive?
Barely. Apparently, after being the only Republican in the Senate to vote against Trump nominee Tulsi Gabbard for her intelligence post, they wheeled him out. I saw a video of them wheeling him out with, like, literally over 10 people pushing his wheelchair and some type of powered van and all sorts of apparatus needed to lift him out of there. And
well, we're not sure he's still alive then. I mean, he might be being artificially supplanted by something.
Well, it's clear that he is not aligned with the president's agenda or the Republican Party and what they want to do. At this very historic time, he's old school, and the more, I'd say, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, especially the old relics: Schumer, Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Mitch McConnell. They've come into a clearer focus.
Characters. How can they even be there? What a joke!
Well, they've come into a clearer focus against the new backdrop, as if they don't quite realize that everything has changed and that it's no longer. You know, it's not the country it was just 2 months ago. Things have shifted. There's a major shift in all directions. Even Google is cutting back on DEI stuff. Google has agreed to let Americans see the Gulf as Gulf of America. Even before the election, they had removed Black History Month and Pride Month from their automated Google Calendar stuff. The shift is real, and it's happening in all sorts of different directions. And, you know, and McConnell, he's cringy, but beyond that, I mean, he's clearly not medically or mentally fit for the job. But there he is trying
to... saw him, I believe, have a stroke on cam. He looked. Remember when he looked off in one of the times when he looked off into nothingness? I think he had a stroke, and they had to lead him away.
Well, I'm giving serious consideration to putting out a press release tomorrow just to throw a political rock at him and say, "Pat calls on Mitch McConnell to resign and retire." You know, and just hey, enough's enough. This guy. 'Cause I think the people out there that favor the opinions and positions that you and I share. I think a lot of them were exhausted with Mitch McConnell and tired of him before the election and the shift. But now
it's
even
disgusting.
Worse.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. Wait, term limits, come on. 2 terms, 3 at the most in the Senate. That's a couple of terms in the House. And get the hell out. Let somebody else come in. This is stupid. These people are career political hucksters, many of them. That's what they do. It's their job, so to speak. Anyhow.
Mitch McConnell needs to go. And
yes, he does.
Sometimes you need somebody just to stand up and yell it. And every now and then we stand up and yell something, and it just happens to hit the crowd. I mean, I've never surfed, but I understand the concept about hitting the wave right when it's timed well. Somebody's got to start yelling
it. Take my word for it.
It's
quite awesome.
Every thunderous applause begins with one person. You know, starting the clap. So we're looking at that. We're going to have to get very serious about raising funds at Alipac here very soon, because right now our base is not mobilizing, and we've got to get moving, because the deportations are not going to Trump or Homan's satisfaction, and there's a lot of things that we can do to do that. And if our supporters are going to lay down and disengage because they think it's handled, they're just so wrong on that. And so we're going to have to get serious about the funds drive.
That was my first question to you, was going to be, how does Alipac.us see the deportation program progressing at this point?
Well, at this point, they're hamstring. There's too many on the left that are organizing to dig in the illegals. There's too much of this, we're just going after the bad ones, you know. Even though they're scooping up some of them.
I get that. I'm afraid they're going to go after the bad ones, 1.2 million or thereabouts. That's the projected guesstimate. And then after that, they're going to just kind of sit back. They're all here illegally. Facts are facts. The bottom line is the bottom line. They got to go. And if you read the top of my homepage, and if you don't agree, that's fine. It's just my idea of how to make the actual deportation process fuel itself. And we win in either case. Go, it's on the top of the homepage. Go read it and just consider it. If you got a better idea, great. 433 a day is the average per day allegedly being rounded up now. And then they've got to be housed, fed, transported, et cetera, et cetera. Read my suggestion. You've got some good ideas, too. Here's the point. 433 a day, do the math. 30 million. Do the math, 20 million. It ain't going to happen, folks. Not at 433 a day. And Trump ordered it adjusted upwards to 1,600 a day? 1,600 or 1,800 a day. It's still not enough. There's something big has to happen.
Well, we've launched our activists to help start spreading the 287G program again, and hopefully we can get those folks moving with that, because... You know, I'm trying to get some more local jurisdictions here in North Carolina to join in.
Right.
And in the past, especially about 10 to 12 years ago, we were very instrumental in spreading the 287G program. We need those local police.
You have to tell people please explain what the 287G was.
They take a drunk driver down to the jail cell because he just ran over 3 people, and they're going to run him against the federal database to see if he's illegal as well and needs to have an immigration hold on him. It's the opposite of being a sanctuary city. It doesn't have local police going out knocking on doors and checking papers and searching for illegals.
Thank
when police encounter illegals during their regular course of duty, they're going to process them, and we're going to get them out of here. So spread the 287G program. We're focused on that. We're going to put out the numbers for people to call to report illegals and illegal alien employers, and we're going to start, you know, getting that going. And if we can get some traction on that, and maybe some negative media from the left against us on that, you know, it'll torch it up. Because, you know, the people that want the illegals to stay are trying to broadcast information to them to keep them to stay. But
there are leaks. You saw that. I'm sure you did. Allegedly,
yeah,
the FBI is leaking where they're going to raid, and the invaders are gone when the troops arrive or whoever arrives.
Yeah. Not well, there's a good chance that there's going to be a stampede going here pretty soon. So we're in a good position here if we can get everybody focused, re-engaged, the contributions and donations up, and people actually, you know, engage. I think that right now there's a lot of confusion just because there's just so much to digest and so much going on at once. We need to get that central sort of, like, you know, not central necessarily, but that sort of core organization moving on that. So we've.
I agree. As far as McConnell goes, we are the laughing stock of the Western world, and probably the whole world to a large degree. These people, when they enroll in their new profession, their career profession of being a politician, they're no longer representing the people. They're representing themselves, and everybody knows it. They get to near swim in the money stream. And what do we got? Let me repeat it again. $50 billion last year was doled out to organizations, groups, and other, well, mechanisms connected to the federal government. 50, and many of them don't even exist. They don't even exist. Where's the money going? $50 billion. And how many billions we've sent to Ukraine? $200 billion. How many billions is Zelensky and his pals, how many have they absconded with? Billions. This is all crazy. And I only hope that Doge really does come through and they don't somehow chop Musk off at the knees and prevent it. It's got to happen. This is so overdue. I've never in my lifetime seen anything like this. Will it work out? Will it actually transpire? I hope so.
Well, I mean, it's happening. It's happening right now. And, you know, one of the things that they seem to possibly have, you know, that we've never passed the line item veto for the president. The president doesn't have line item veto.
That's true. That's true.
But at the same time, these agency heads that Trump is appointing, including Elon Musk, they have the ability to fire people and cancel contracts and do all sorts of additional things. And, of course, that brings us to one of the most exciting stories over the last week, Big Balls. Can we talk about Big Balls on the show? Big Balls?
Are you talking about athletics?
Oh, no, I'm talking about
porn.
Big Balls.
All right,
you
go right ahead.
You know about
Big Balls? We understand.
Okay.
You go ahead.
Well, apparently, part of Doge, part of the State Department and Treasury Department activities that Elon Musk is engaging in is he's hired a bunch of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old whiz kids who have read-only access to these computer files that they're combing through, which has got to be, you know, you really need a small army to even comb through. And they're mostly through combing through one agency, USAID, which is one of the smaller ones. And
USAID?
I think there's what? USAID, yes.
You should listen next hour. Joel Gilbert's going to be on. He's going to expose the machinations between Barry Obama and USAID. There's some real interesting connections there. I got to tell you this, and I don't brag. I'm just telling you. I knew USAID was a CIA manipulating mechanism in college. It was obvious. I don't know what you need. You just look at the money and look where it's being used.
I'm a little surprised you don't know about Big Balls.
It's a family program, William. You know that.
You just admit it. I don't know about Big Balls. Just admit it.
I know nothing.
About?
Anything. I'm not going to be tricked into saying it. This is a family program.
Well, look, the left's been saying big balls all over the place. MSNBC,
the communist left will say
they've
anything
gone on. Big balls is the online avatar nickname of one of Doge's cyber kids who resigned.
Oh, the kid that was just rehired, right?
Yes, he's the one who's rehired.
He posted that in a social media exclamation somewhere, and he got
somewhere in his teen years. He used a screen name or avatar of Big Balls. Right. And there, Mark Dice and several others have put together a clip of all these people on the left, including Rachel Maddow and these other biddies on CNN looking all cross and everything, all saying, big balls, big balls, big balls. And it's sort of funny because, I mean, it's juvenile. It's juvenile humor is what he put it in there.
High school stuff.
Yeah, but they all agree, and there was some other type of accusation of some, I don't know what the comments were, and I can't quite comment on it, but some type of racially insensitive comments were made about certain groups of protected people, and they were all upset about it, and he got canceled, cancel culture. I mean, well, he self-canceled, and I mean, the kid fell on his own sword. And resigned, and you know how the resignations can go on, yeah, things like that.
He tripped over his own big... Never mind.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's entirely too masculine. I mean, it's too juvenile masculine for Rachel Maddow. But the interesting part of the story was J.D. Vance took up with him, and J.D. Vance said that, you know, he didn't agree with what the kid had said or posted at some point, but he also didn't believe in ruining somebody's life over some, past comments and not having any type of forgiveness for people.
It's stupid. Of course, he should be forgiven.
Well, but then you know how it goes. One, they find one wrong word from you, Paula Deen, that somebody else claims that you said in a private, non-recorded conversation in 1979, and you lose your show and your livelihood. And your community standing and everything must be destroyed because the accusation has been made. J.D. Vance took up for him. Peter Ducey, in a press conference, asked President Trump, he said, you know, your vice president, J.D. Vance, said that Big Balls was should be forgiven or something. And Trump's like, I don't know anything really about this story, but J.D.'s right here. J.D., is that what you said? Yep. I agree with the vice president. There you go. And it's like, oh, wow, look at how things are operating here. Completely different operating system. Some kid made a callous comment online years back, and now you want to ruin him, and no, we're going to rehire Big Balls.
Well, to be perfectly honest, it's an expression that is just not needed. And all these people all of a sudden, and people... guests, radio guests, whatever, they're all using the term balls. You have the balls to do this or that. What for? What is you got no other vocabulary? And now they're all doing it, and they all sound just as stupid as the one before. Anyhow, syntax and verbiage and a vocabulary is a wonderful thing, and there are so many extraordinary words out there that never get noticed. That's my take on it.
You know, Elon Musk got in the spirit of things and temporarily changed. I don't know if he's changed it back yet. Let me see if he's changed it back yet. He changed the name on his Twitter account to Harry Balls, B-O-L-Z.
Yeah, I know. Another childlike.
Hey, look. All right, let's you're older than I am, Jeff. We cannot cast stones from a generation that had deep throat.
I totally agree. Hypocrisy is hypocrisy, all right? Anyhow, let's
move
on.
Here it is. Yeah, apparently, no, Musk is back to Elon Musk, but someone else has created a Harry Balls. Things are operating in a different way, and it's amazing because, you see, I'm really so hopeful that within what Elon Musk is doing, within what J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are doing, that there's a whole new potential generation here, because apparently all the Democrats can muster on the youth front is this guy named Sisson on Twitter, and David Hogg. David Hogg is the vice chair of the National Democratic Party.
He actually pronounces it Hogue, I think. But he's a phony. He's a fraud. He's very suspicious to me.
They've got no younger people. They have some younger people, don't get me wrong. But the youth vote, which used to be historically the Democrats, which I used to be a part of a long, long time ago, I think the youth vote was with the Democrats a lot after what happened in the late 60s and in the 1970s. It's not there. The energy is on the Republican GOP side. The younger people, voters and activists, I mean, the fact that Musk has hired these young men and women that are like cyber kids to go in and do such an important job. Oh, yeah. One last comment on Big Balls. The press is very, very upset that Big Balls now actually has an official either Treasury or State Department email. He's an employee of one of these departments, and as such, he has. And, you know, just think about, regardless of what your old screen name was, about what type of resume booster it is to say, I worked for the Department of State. You know, I was the blah, blah, blah for the Department of Treasury at such a young age. And apparently another thing about some of these younger people, I don't know if people were stretching this a bit, but apparently when Musk hired them, one of the rules was that he needed people who were going to work 17, 18 hours a day fanatically on these projects. So this isn't, you know, they're begging federal work. Well, they're not begging. They're trying to get federal workers to please return to the office or whatever. These younger people, whether they're in the office or not, I mean, I know if they're tied to a computer or laptop or device, you know, they can be logged in, but I've heard that they're not really paying attention to the old child labor laws here, that Musk hired people who were willing, who were talented and willing to, and some of them have accomplished great things. Like one of the kids he hired came up with an algorithm to decode some type of archaeological manuscripts, some burned manuscripts. Someone found an archaeological find of some rolled manuscripts in some type of code or language no one had ever figured out. And one of these young nerds wrote an algorithm and used artificial intelligence to decode something that no one ever decoded before.
All right, well, that's what AI should be used for, things like that. Reasonable.
Well, he's a kid yeah. code breaker, right. And he's been hired in this. So the country, this is the type of thing. See, the DEI gatekeepers would have seen Big Balls' application, and just because he is a straight white young male, they would have excluded him from scholarships, excluded him from college entry, excluded him from department entry, abused him in a class, in a community college or college classroom or high school classroom. They would have tried to hold him back. They would have tried to trip him up. They would have tried to give him a bad grade based off of something subjective like his essay and done everything they can to stop him. And now there's people in power who are actually meritocracy, giving these kids a chance. It's got incredible implications, but only if we can keep it up. At any moment, we could lose the momentum. There's momentum there, and I think it's starting to slow in some cases with the deportation issues and things like that.
Well, that is to be expected. And things that
well, everybody out there listening,
let's hope that the bottom line will stay, I think, engaged. Let's find
well,
out.
Everybody out there listening, please be warned. Remember what happened in 2016 and 2017. The momentum shifted early, and it was nothing but running, screaming, crying, and defense all the way.
Remember, all those executive orders can be opposed in court, and many already are. By the way, there was a statement yesterday put out by the Trump White House that said Thomas Jefferson was able to reach down and remove federal judges who were impeding his presidential progress. That's cited as a fact. And so Trump could begin to pull some of these Bolshevik judges out, according to what Thomas Jefferson did. It's an interesting story.
Well, and I've often felt that on cases that are gray, we're not, the United States, we're not under the control of lower judges. Now, we are greatly influenced and under the control of the Supreme Court, but nowhere in the Constitution does it say that we, the people, are being governed by these lower court judges. And I think there's many cases, and the Biden administration made this argument. AOC even made this argument. There are many, the Democrats have many times ignored court orders left and right. There's a strong argument to be made that the executive branch does not have to heed every lower court judge, single person's orders.
This is headed towards some kind of a resolution. I don't know what it's going to be, but yeah. I agree.
Well, a lot of it's going to end up in the Supreme Court, and if it does, then, you know, the Supreme Court, that's another matter. But not a lower court judge doesn't have the ability or should not be allowed the ability or afforded the ability to, you know, put a stop to any type of major things going on from the executive branch or Congress.
Right. No, good. I agree.
Because, I mean, you know, Obama stacked the court so bad.
Next week? Not only that, but he's got USAID. Obama was a terribly corrupt human being and president. Terribly. And no one has yet begun to even wrap their head around it. We'll see. Joel Gilbert will be up next hour. He's very smart, this man. So we'll find out. We'll find out more. What are your people telling you? When you look on the deportation thing, day one, we're going to go. They're going to go. We're going to get rid of them. 430 a day? No. And planning these raids, staging these raids, flying these teams, driving, busing these teams around that are going to go into a building or a business or an apartment block and clean out all the trendy Aragua gang members. It's just big logistics stuff. There are other ways to do it.
Well, there's other things involved, though. I mean, one thing we can't quantify yet, but we know that it's happening, is that the millions and millions of dollars going into those Soros NGOs that were importing all the illegals in the hotel rooms and all that stuff's being cut off. So, yeah, we want more deportations, but it's going to take time to cut off all the money, to get more local police involved, to get the American public properly involved. There's a lot of things.
How about the sanctuary
states
and cities involved? Gavin Newsom. This is a joke. So somebody's going to have to pull rank on this and make it happen. They can't keep pittering around like this. It's got to happen in a big way. And something like my suggestion might be the way to do it. You give them 30 days to get out, and if they choose not to get out and self-deport, they end up 2 years doing labor, making America great again. Everything from cleaning roads and trash to helping to rebuild any kind of an infrastructure component that you can imagine. They'll work 2 years for this country, and then they'll leave. And if they come back, they'll do 4 years. And all we have to do is feed them and put a roof over them. And we have, allegedly, lots and lots of these labor camp sorts of things all over the country. It's a quite doable program.
I would put them in, like I said, I'd put them along the southern border, and I'd put Sheriff Joe Arpaio in charge of building them. I mean, you've seen it in the articles this past week. Enough cells. There's not enough cells. We don't have enough detention center space for all the illegals that we've got. Not enough detention center space. And, you know, Joe Arpaio, he's active on Facebook. I'm looking at the picture of him today with standing there wishing.
What's he saying?
Joe. Happy birthday, political commentator Glenn Beck. I always enjoyed meeting with Glenn. He's wishing Glenn Beck a happy birthday on Facebook.
What's he saying about the deportations?
Well, I haven't seen much of that. I mean, Joe's sort of a bit out to pasture. I mean, he got, Allipac launched a lobbying campaign. We had to lobby Donald Trump to pardon Joe Arpaio. Joe Arpaio stuck his neck out early for Donald Trump's first presidential race.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah.
And as a result, lost his race in Maricopa County, and then had the corrupt Obama Justice Department railroad him on charges, and we're going to put him in prison, and Trump didn't move to help him. And now Trump eventually did pardon Joe Arpaio, but he didn't do what we should have thought. First of all, he should have pardoned Joe Arpaio before we had to rally the Trump base to lobby him to do so, and he should have offered Arpaio a job in the administration, but he didn't. He didn't.
Well, he didn't offer General Flynn a job either, and he sure as hell should have. There's several. I don't know. I just have to go back. The only logical explanation is he's controlled. His controller was just in Washington with dirty laundry the other day. Literally. Netanyahu and his wife, his lovely bride, brought in a couple suitcases of dirty clothes. He says, oh, by the way, Donald, we need these washed. Come on.
Well,
Joe
Arpaio,
he's statesmanship.
Joe's a hero and a great American, but he's really up there in years. He went to the inauguration. He supported Trump from the beginning and throughout. Right. You know, but even if you didn't put Joe Arpaio in charge of building the tents, facilities we need for illegals, someone else could pull a Joe Arpaio. I mean, it's Joe Arpaio wrote the book on how to house a bunch of inmates cheap. Pink underwear, bologna sandwiches, no smoking, no smokes. You know?
Yeah.
Do it Joe Arpaio. You can do it Joe Arpaio style. But yeah, we've got to build this thing up. We've got to build this thing up.
Arpaio now, a young guy full of fire who can get there and make noise, big noise, good noise. Something has to happen, though. There's been too much happened too soon. I call it the bum rush. Call it what you want. The courts are going to slow a lot of it down. It's, again, chum. We're being chummed. We'll see what happens. I'm not saying I know the answer. It's good. We're going to have to be patient and watch.
Look,
he's doing all the right things in many ways.
When the Japanese hit Pearl Harbor and the United States was thrust into World War II, where we wanted to be at with troop recruitment and tank production and plane production and everything 3 weeks in? No. We have to build, but in a similar style, we have to rebuild this country and try to stop them from sinking it, stop them from Pearl Harboring the stock market. Republican right. President, Republicans in control of the Senate and the House. 1929, anybody? We got to protect it, but we have to build it up. We're 3 weeks in on what has to become a massive, massive operation, and Trump doesn't even have control of all the agencies yet. Now, Tulsi Gabbard, she's going in today, but RFK, he's still held up, right?
He's still held up.
Yeah.
Not a good sign.
And you know Mitch McConnell's going to be one of the ones behind that. And so some of the bigger stuff isn't going to be able to all really happen. You know,
They're not even on board yet, a lot of them. I understand.
Yeah, and then they've got to go into these agencies like the FBI, you know, that's full of...
That should be vacuumed out, all of it.
We don't even have the agency head in place yet over on the FBI, and the FBI's got people who are actively undermining
right now
the whole thing.
Right
yeah.
now. Yep.
If you remember the first the Dune books or the first Dune movie by David Lynch, you know, the Harkonnens did not fully give up Arrakis when the Atreides took over the Chom contracts for spice.
I missed that one somehow. Didn't see it.
What? You ever read the Dune books?
No.
No
time.
You remember?
I pick up a 1,000-page book. I'm one of those people that does too many things all the time. I just can't sit and read like that.
The process of removal continues. That's a line
so
from Dune.
Speak.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Duke Leto Atreides is complaining about the Harkonnen saboteurs continuing to mess up their operations as they establish their first base of operations on Dune. And his main security guy is like, the process of removal continues.
Mm-hmm. So the movie that was made out of the book was not particularly a winner, or was it okay? How would you rate it?
Oh, listen, that, you know, you actually hit upon something there, my friend. The 1984 version of Dune by David Lynch is loved by many, many, many people. You could say that it's a cult classic. It has a cult following, whatever you want. And it's an odd film. David Lynch meets, you know, science fiction.
He's an odd director.
Yes, and he's always had a very sort of unusual style. But to make a Dune movie, there's actually a backstory there that there were discussions around the movie-making industries for decades about how to tackle Dune, because doing Dune is difficult. I mean, there's like, I think, 10 to 15 books in all together, and the first one, you know, the Dune universe and the Dune story is so elaborate, complicated, and such that there were several prior attempts or discussions about doing Dune that failed. But then I think it was Dino De Laurentiis, who built his studios here in North Carolina in Wilmington, Italian director, who eventually did Dune with David Lynch. However, the movie was problematic, and I think David Lynch, somebody didn't want their name on it. It might be David Lynch. Somebody took their name off of it.
I think it was William Dean, wasn't it?
No. Name on Dune. Dune just had its 40th anniversary, and I went to see it again in the theater, because they had it back in theaters last year. And
well, it was David Lynch. You're right. He disavowed that version and had his name removed from the credits.
Yes, David Lynch appears in an uncredited cameo. He also appears in a film as a spice worker.
A spice worker?
Yeah. See, the whole premise behind Dune is there's spice, and spice is sort of like oil. But spice is a drug that not only is highly addictive, but once people become addicted to it, they have to use it the rest of their life, or they'll die from withdrawal from it. And
Dune underperformed so badly at the box office, grossing $31 million against a budget of $42
million. Oops.
Lynch had such buyer's remorse about the film that he eventually had his name removed and from the film and the extended TV versions. Oh, it goes on. All right.
Yeah. It was, it lost money, and it was complicated. And when I went to see it at the theaters, they were handing out little...
You want me to read a book like that? Uh-huh.
Well, you know, Dune... When I was coming up through my college decade in the 90s, and we would conduct our different little political... our little political operations, we would have... we would speak in code to each other, and we would basically use pop cultural references for our codes, and Dune was one of the, you know...
I got it.
The chancellor of East Carolina University, Dick Aiken, was the emperor. His dean of student life was Baron Harkonnen. It was, you know... It was we would mix it into the Dune stuff, and it's a good movie. It's a very powerful dialogue. They did a great job with it overall, considering you know what they had to try to deal with, because the Dune universe, when people use spice for different major things in like 10,000 years into the future, and one of it is the Guild Navigators, whose bodies have been completely mutated by the spice, but they're able to fold space. They're responsible.
Is this something you eat? A spice? Is it?
Yeah, you can eat
ingest?
It. You can also absorb it through your skin if you come in contact with it. But it's only produced in one place in the universe, on the planet Arrakis, known as Dune. And
so you can't put it on your pork shoulder roast at the barbecue.
You could. Yes. There's several examples. And the Fremen, who live on the planet Dune, are known by their blue-within-blue eyes. The spice changes them in a way that their eyes are both blue in the center, regardless of what they were born with, and then the white corneas become blue as well. And the Fremen are a lot like desert Arabs, you know.
I hope you all understand the incredible connection between this and deportation and the new Trump administration. Well, it's right there. You just have to open your eyes a little, and you'll see.
Well, Elon Musk would understand this conversation, because, in fact, Elon's...
Probably.
Well, actually, his wife, or ex-wife, I'm not sure, an artist by the name of Grimes. Grimes goes
online...
Wait,
can you imagine choosing the name of Grime or Grimes? That's pretty weird.
Well, I think it's her last name or
kids
something like that.
$1 billion a kid he gave her, right?
Yeah, well, Grimes is pretty good with the synthesizers and stuff, but she goes online by the name Princess Irula.
I bet you're better.
Well, I appreciate that, but Grimes goes by Princess. Her real name is Claire Elise Boucher, born 1988, the year after I graduated high school, and she's a Canadian music singer.
Yeah,
but I'm familiar with... But her lyrics often touch on science fiction and feminist themes. But she goes online by Princess Irula, which is a Dune character. And
well, didn't Musk also have a child with Amber Heard? Am I remembering right? I think he did.
I'm not sure of his family tree.
Amber Heard dated off and on from 2017 to 2018. A long-term relationship. They met in 2013 on the set of Machete Kills, but didn't start dating until after Amber Heard broke up with Johnny Depp. Well, there you go.
Well, Elon Musk and his crew, a lot of them are Dune fans. There's a new set of Dune movies out that did very well, but I watched them recently, and while I appreciate some of the improvements in special effects and certain things, the whole thing, that, of course, you know, made during the wokeness, is a big, you know, warning about colonialism. They've turned Dune, and I mean, there are colonial elements in the original Dune. I get that, but the new movies focus on, you know, all the main protagonists are people of color, and all of the bad guys are white. And not only are they white in the new movies, they are so white. They had to make the Harkonnens the main, antagonist of the film, powdery white. Sheet of clean printer paper white with bald skinheads, which all of the bad guys in all the movies made over the last decade, or especially since 2001, are white males with bald heads, skinhead tropes. And they made the entire planet of Harkonnen and all the Harkonnens, including Harkonnen women, super pale white skinheads. Because that's what every movie's about.
Okay.
Bad white people.
That's the message.
Yeah.
I get it.
Didn't used to be that way. I mean, it was more subtle in the past, but after 2001.
Was that the year? All right.
Yeah, I think that's when I think things shifted. When I watch movies or shows, I can sort of tell whether it was pre or post, you know, 2001, because after 2001, it just got completely, completely ridiculous. But yes, you should put the 84 Dune on your watch list, so that, you know, because one of the things it could grant you would be, you know, in the little less than two hours to watch the film, you would get a sort of pretty good feel for what the Dune book.
Sounds like you'd 2 hours watching the opening credits.
No, and hey, the 84 movie has a soundtrack by Toto. You like Toto, don't you?
I don't remember Toto. I didn't get involved back in the day. I don't know.
Rosanna, you don't know the song Rosanna?
No.
You don't know the song Rains in Africa?
No.
You don't know who Toto is?
I have heard the moniker. Yes. I don't know who it is. I couldn't tell you what he, she, it, or them did. I don't know.
You'd probably, if you heard some Toto songs, be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been hearing that all my life.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we must, our poor listeners, we don't want them to go to sleep yet.
I know. I think a lot of your listeners out there are quite familiar with Frank Herbert, his
they are. I saw the book. It was big as a brick. You know, it was huge. I saw it. I got it. I liked reading. I just like the idea. That's why this program is not being streamed visually. I don't want people staring. Ah, what a funny looking guy. I've heard that all my life. I don't need it. So anyway, the point is, if you think you're doing something constructive, even if you don't have the same outcome in your thought process, it doesn't matter. I like reading when I had the time back in the day. And I did once read, and it was fun. I did. Fun.
Well, if you
when
were
I walked into my when I walk into my college house on the cliff in Santa Barbara with roommates, and I looked in from the kitchen, and six of them, I didn't have, they weren't all six roommates, but they were friends, and so, they were all staring, and I mean capital S, staring at the television. And I said, uh-oh, this is where it's going. And I'm no seer, but that's where it went. Completely controlled them.
Well, these are books written in 1965. There was no movie until 84, and you couldn't watch it unless you recorded it on VHS or rented it.
Mm-hmm.
You should watch Dune, or read the books.
Yeah. There are no more video rental stores out there. It's all gone. All these things come and go. Gone.
Well, just remember,
and people don't know. There used to be big stores like libraries. You'd go and rent a film or buy. You could do that too.
Well, just remember this one thing from this conversation, and that is that the spice must flow.
Okay.
The spice must flow, Jeff.
I'll remember that. I got it. Now, what do you expect is going to happen soon with respect to Trump and Israel? He's already talked about the most, and it's outraged the world, about going into Gaza and removing forcibly all the Palestinians there. Keep in mind that the Israeli military could not defeat Hamas and did not. Now we're going to take, Trump is not going to do it with an invitation or bribing them with ice cream. They're not going to leave. So that means he may invoke the U.S. military. And that's not a good sign. That may well happen. And then you have the other Israeli wars now, Lebanon, Yemen, etc. Who's going to stop that? They're building military bases all over Western Syria now. This is Greater Israel. And no one dare question Netanyahu or the Israeli government. They can't. So what's going to happen?
Well,
Saturday, Trump has promised again, hell is going to break loose unless you release all those hostages. Never mind the 15,000 being held by Israeli prisons right now. Never mind that. Never mind the 300,000 to 500,000 murdered by American money, American bombs, American jets used by Israel. You're either in favor of genocide or you're not. You can't have it both ways. Sorry, Trump.
Well, I think today the Senate passed the cloture vote on RFK. So they're going to vote either tomorrow.
Oh, they did.
10:30. They're going to vote. They're voting at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday. Originally, they were thinking seven. There's a delay. Once you vote for cloture and you pass the cloture vote, the motion to proceed, you have to wait a certain amount of time. And so it looks like tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, they're going to vote on RFK. And my hope is, I hope and pray that he and the others can get in there and find a lot of this stuff, a lot of this poison in the American food supply that's ballooning everybody up and making people over 30 have all sorts of comorbidity, you know, health issues and things like that.
You got to remember, 80 to 90% of Americans have taken the injections, and that's why they're having comorbidities and health problems. They're fading away, many of them. No joke.
Well,
one more thing. Hold on. One of the top People's Liberation Army, communist Chinese bioweapons experts, who works at the WVI, the Wuhan Viral Institute, admitted the other day that the entire COVID operation was a genocidal plan to reduce world population, and he feels extremely guilty and shamed about having taken a very significant role in perfecting that artificial synthetic virus, the COVID virus, which led on to the actual so-called vaccine. He felt bad. He admitted it. I've got it up on the homepage. It was a very big story. Didn't make any press around here. Hardly any. No surprise.
Well, several members of Congress made it clear what their investigative declassification priorities are going to be. And they are making steps to declassify and investigate and pursue the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the assassination of Robert Kennedy, the assassination of Martin Luther King, UFOs, UAPs, and the origins of the COVID virus. Those are the five declassification, congressional investigation priorities.
Right. Dan,
and I think we're all in for. I think we're all in for some really interesting information soon.
Well, if they tell the truth, and remember, anything's possible. Yes, we will be, and we'll find out. I think all of us know who killed JFK. There were a number of reasons why he was murdered, why he had to go. Certainly at the top of the list, without any question in my mind, not speaking for William or Allie Pack, is the war that JFK was having with David Ben-Gurion about, we are going to inspect Dimona. We're not going to let you build nuclear and thermonuclear weapons. We're going to inspect. Ben-Gurion said, no, you're not. It was a total impasse. That was one of the primary reasons that the Mossad and the CIA and others in this government, most notably Lyndon Baines Johnson, got involved with the murder of John Kennedy. That's
how can this be? For he is the Kwisatz Haderach.
Oh, God. All right. I want you to go take a Valium or a Xanax and just kick back. And have a beer.
All right.
Relax.
All right.
Thanks,
yes.
William. Speak
Bye.
Next week. Take
See
care.
You now.
All right. All right. William Gein, Alipack, ALIPAC.US, the best, most vital, meaningful political action committee in America. Be right back. Hold on.